And I'm Henry Banks, senior producer and host of People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in a few minutes, a conversation about fair and equitable reporting of the news. My guests include editors Chuck Frederick and Rick Lubbers from the Duluth News Tribune and Kevin Jacobson, news director at KBJR Channel 6. Please join me and my guests, Kevin Jacobson, Rick Lubbers, and Chuck Frederick, as we discuss fair and equitable news. Also, a special Mother's Day tribute from all of us and people of color. All of this and more coming up on People of Color with Henry Banks after this. Good evening and welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Henry Banks. Thanks for joining us this evening. I am honored to have in the studio Rick Lubbers. He's the executive editor, and Chuck Frederick is the editorial page editor at the Duluth News Tribune, and that newspaper has been around for a long time, right?
150 years on April 24th here. So, wow, yes, celebrating a birthday.
That's great. That's great. So my birthday is this week, too. So maybe it's almost, happy birthday. It's almost the same day. So today our conversation is about fair and equitable reporting in the news. And so I'm wondering how you're accomplishing that at the News Tribune, what your local perspective is on that particular topic, as it is, and you're the largest newspaper in the region, and so I think it's great that you're here today, but I would like to know how you are reporting the news equitably so that that news reaches a whole bunch of different communities in a way that they're respected and appreciate what you're doing in the news. I want to talk with you.
Well, you know, that's a challenge, you know, is well connected as we all are through, you know, social media and other platforms of the media. You know, that can be challenging to reach everyone, every community, and that's something that we certainly strive for. You know, if I'm to be honest, you know, I'd say that we could probably stand to be better at that and work at that. So, and it's been a conversation actually that we've been discussing quite a bit in the newsroom lately. We've been looking at our beat structure and what we're covering, who we're covering. You know, and right now, you know, we can tend to be very event-driven, kind of that big breaking news, but we want to make sure that we're not just covering the big breaking news and the big institutions, but also all the communities that, you know, reside here in the Northland.
Okay, that's very good. So, so let me get a little deeper here with you. How do you decide what gets into the paper? Mm-hmm. How do you make that determination, first and foremost? And then when you, say, for example, put the tagline on the story, mm-hmm. how do you determine that? And so that's going to lead to another question that I have. How do mm-hmm. you first determine how you're going to sell that story?
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with, you know, determining what we cover. You know, we really try to provide every day, whether it's in print or online, news that matters to people in the community, things that, you know, we feel that they would be informed or need to know about, you know, whether it's something, you know, that city council is deciding on or something maybe controversial that's going on with the school board. You know, some of those things can be very easy to determine the newsworthiness of. But also, we want to also have features, you know, of people in the community as well and people that we think are interesting that other, you know, their neighbors, other residents here in the Northland would be interested in knowing about them. You know, so we really try to put that forward through all of the sections of the paper. But, you know, I'd say features in particular is one area where we can really shine a spotlight on what people are doing, what their hobbies are, what their passions are. You know, so we're also looking for those sorts of things as well. To go to your second question, I believe, about headlines, you know, what we do is once the story is written, you know, we'll take a look at, you know, that story and say, okay, how can we, in a very few words, very tight sentence, you know, describe what, you know, the basic essence of what that story is so that readers can read the headline, hopefully draws them into the story, but also gives them a small snapshot of what they're going to be reading about. So headlines can be tricky. You can be too cute with that and give the reader a false sense of what the story is about. You know, we don't want to do anything that's very clickbaity, if that's a word. we want to just give them a nice glimpse, a nice snapshot of what that story is that they're going to be reading, and hopefully that headline draws them into that first paragraph, and hopefully that first paragraph draws them into the rest of the story.
Okay, so that leads up to my question about some of your reporting in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple articles that came out about a month or so ago, a little over a month ago. First one says, 4 arrested after riot at Duluth Youth Facility. Mm-hmm. That's one story. And then the other says, officials detail riot at Duluth Youth Facility. So somebody decided to choose the word riot for these particular stories. But UMD just won this national tournament in hockey not too long ago. But the story that came out of the paper and other media didn't indicate that there was a riot down in Canal Park where UMD students and others were damaging property, city property that the taxpayers own, breaking bottles, underage drinking. Mm-hmm. They didn't call that a riot. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, why was that not determined the riot, but the Hills Youth and Family Services Organization, where they had their incident, it was called a riot? So I ask you, what's the difference, and why you all chose to not call the UMD stuff a riot, but you called the Hills stuff a riot? Mm-hmm. Is it because of the kids that are at one place opposed to another place? I know the kids at the Hills were all kids of color, so it became a riot. And the kids that were at Canal Park out on the street, it became a celebration. They're white kids. Why is that? And why was that determination made? Mm-hmm. So folks in the community want to know why you decided that.
Well, first of all, the newspaper can't call it anything unless we hear from our sources and what they're calling it. The Woodland Hills incident is what, you know, you're talking about here, and that disturbance. The Duluth police called it a riot. There was a charge, an individual that was charged in that incident, and I'm probably going to get the wording incorrect here. It's possible, but it's third-degree riot is actually in the description of the charge. So I believe in our headline, we would have put quotes around riot, because that is taken directly from the police report, which obviously we weren't inside the building when that happened. So we have to rely very heavily on what the Duluth police are giving us. So in their determination, in that charge that we're drawing from when we're reporting, they chose to call it a riot. And then also within the actual charge that one individual, I believe, was charged. I don't know if anyone else was. I know there were a few individuals involved, but taxing my memory a little bit. But I believe that the one adult that was charged, riot is actually in that charge. So that's what I would say about that particular story.
So you didn't make the determination to call it a riot. The police department made that determination. I know in that first piece that came out, it wasn't, the word riot wasn't in quotes, but then when it came out again, it was in quotes.
Yep.
So I'm concerned about that word riot, especially when the officials at Woodland Hills or the Hills came on TV and in other places and said, well, it was not a riot. Okay. So somebody made the wrong determination. What happens, though, is that our kids of color, when people read these things, they are looking at our community in a negative light. While at the same time, if you look up the definition of riot, the students from UMD, that should have been determined a riot as well. And so if there's going to be equitable reporting and equitable whatever in the news and how the police departments and all of these entities that are supposedly having our best interest at hand, you would think they would have called the UMD thing a riot also because it fits every definition of riot in every way. And so I just think for all intents and purposes, there seems to be some disingenuous stuff going on here. And I'm not saying the newspaper is disingenuous. That's not what I mean. But our community doesn't appear to get this right. And that's having an impact, especially on brown and black skin tone people. Chuck, you look like you wanted to say something.
The point I wanted to make, I don't believe we have any idea whether the students involved or the Hills residents involved were students or kids of color or they were white kids. I don't think race came into the coverage at all. Again, I'm opinion side. I don't have anything to do with news, but I've been in the news business, 30 years. And I don't think that played a factor into the reporting because it's not – we have no idea who's involved or whether they're – UMD students of color or Hills students or white students or residents of the Hills.
Well, couldn't you, though, have not used the word riot? Just because it's in a report doesn't mean you have to use it, correct?
That is correct.
You could have made the determination to not use that, right?
But again, if we are going to use a word like that in a headline, we need to make very sure that that is something that is coming from one of the sources that's involved directly in the story. That's not the News Tribune saying it's a riot. It's the News Tribune saying that the police said it was a riot, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So
if police are calling it that, if the charges that are being filed are that, I think in the interest of fairness and accuracy, using that word is completely appropriate.
But wouldn't more fairness and accuracy come from the officials at the particular location where this happened? Wouldn't they be best able to determine what's happening with their own people?
They certainly would be. But, you know what I'm saying? The criminal justice system and police and the courts, certainly, they use terminology for specific reasons.
Okay. So no offense, okay? But no. I just need to say. So here's a letter that was sent to the opinion page.
Oh, good.
From a guy by the name of Jerry Cordesmaki from Duluth.
Right.
And the first thing he says in his opinion here is, I expected better. He's talking about the students from the University of Minnesota Duluth after the Bulldogs won this national championship. And in this opinion piece, and it's his opinion, he calls it a riot. He calls what happened down in Canal Park a riot. So if our community members are seeing this particular incident as a riot, and it never was deemed a riot by the police department, that seems to me to beg this question. Why then, and you may not want to answer this, why then does the police department get to decide what's a riot at the expense, again, of marginalized communities? Because what happened at the Hills, I can guarantee you, marginalized kids were involved. And so somebody decided they wanted to call that a riot, but the UMD thing no longer is a riot, isn't deemed that. And that seems problematic to me. So in your relationship or your communication with the police department or the others that make the determination as to what is called what, how can you better, again, serve communities of color in really justifying the use of these words? There seems to be a disconnect here. And I don't know if that disconnect is intentional or what have you. But I'm just asking you guys how you would respond to that.
You're talking about in communications between the police and the News Tribune? And I guess I would respectfully disagree a little bit about calling what happened in Canal Park a riot. You know, I don't want to speak for the police, and I believe one individual was arrested and charged in that incident as well. I think he was the one that threw the snowball at the police officer. Again, it attacks my memory a little bit here. Mm-hmm. You know, was there unlawful activity at that? Certainly. I don't think anyone is arguing that. But at the same time, I don't believe there were any assaults on any particular individuals. So, you know, perhaps from the police perspective, you know, they're not using that terminology or that word in that instance versus what happened at Woodland Hills when there were assaults that were taking place, violence person to person, whereas what was going on at Canal Park was more of unlawful activity, you know, what you described there, throwing the bottles, the snowball that was thrown at an officer. So perhaps, again, I don't want to speak for, you know, the police department because that's not our job to do that. But from their perspective, maybe the difference there is in what was actually taking place in both of those large gatherings.
You know, Henry, I agree with you that we need to be very careful, and I think we are very careful with never disparaging any group or any individual unfairly. You know, the words we use really matter. Words count. And we choose them very carefully. Sometimes we could do better, and sometimes, you know, we hit it right on the head. But we certainly are never trying to disparage anyone, whether individually or as a group.
Thanks for listening to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back.
So I'll give you an example here recently. You know, one that I actually wrote about a few days after the headline was written, you know, the incident that happened here, I want to say December, up in Virginia, where, you know, what we learned later was a hostage situation, and a Virginia police officer in the incident that was going on ended up, you know, taking the life of the individual who was holding another person hostage. Our original headline as the news was coming out that evening said Virginia police kill one. Was that headline accurate? Yes. Was it the correct headline for what, you know, that story was? Debatable. But we needed to be better with that headline. We needed to, we really should have walked that back and rewritten that headline before it reached print. And I wrote about that at the time, too, and kind of said the same thing as Chuck here is, headlines can be tricky, and sometimes when you're in the heat of the deadline and you're racing against the clock and you know you got to get this thing to press, and there's very few details. A lot of times in these instances, we're getting very few details in that first day as events are unfolding. You know, it can be the headline that comes out can sometimes be one that we wish we would have written differently, and that's probably the one that comes to mind here. From a few months ago is, yeah, that headline was accurate, but we really needed to write, you know, a much more sensitive headline that conveyed what happened, but not in a way that could be misconstrued from readers. And many readers were upset about what they were reading into the headline. We had a very vigorous debate within the newsroom about it. Chuck, you remember. But at the same time, I felt very strongly that the readers who were commenting and were upset were the ones that were in the right on this one. And we needed to explain to them that, yeah, you're right. We need to be more careful with headlines. We know that words are very meaningful and very powerful. And we want to make sure that once they leave the keyboard and get onto the press or onto the website, that they don't take on, you know, a meaning that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. I guess, for lack of a better word. And so that's an example that just kind of comes to mind as we're having this discussion.
Absolutely, Chuck. It looks like you want to say something on that.
In this day and age of, you know, social media and people using social media for the purpose of purposely misleading and purposely slanting things, I think, you know, readers of the News Tribune and consumers of other, you know, legitimate news outlets can be reassured that, you know, at least we're having these conversations. And yes, sometimes we're not as perfect as we mm-hmm. can be, but at least, you know, we're striving, and that is our goal. Our goal is to, you know, get at the truth and make sure we convey the truth accurately and fairly, rather than, you know, someone on Facebook posting what they know is, you know, Rick used the term clickbait, what they know is purposely misleading in order to further their political or whatever their other cause might be. So we certainly are trying, and our readers, I hope, know that. And they call us out when we fall short, and we have very spirited conversations with them when that happens. Rick and I both. Yeah. Take those calls, and we take them very seriously.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're not easy conversations to have, but at the same time, I think it makes us stronger as an organization. And so when the next similar event comes up, that's in our minds, and we're thinking more about it. I mean, I guarantee you, after this conversation that we've had, when that word comes up again, and it will down the road, we're going to look at that word riot a lot more carefully than maybe we have in the past.
Right.
Regardless of which source is saying it, right?
So
that's always the goal. Okay, we know that it's not a perfect science. We have to be very careful about it, and we get it right a lot of times, but yes, we get it wrong as well. But can you learn from it? Can you be better with your reporting going forward? And that's how I always try to have these discussions. Is okay, we got the Virginia police one wrong. How do we prevent this from happening in the future? And so when we've had similar headlines that have come up since then, those have gone through a few editors and a few more sets of eyes. And I think that's a good thing.
Yes, it is a very good thing. So I'm here with Chuck Frederick and Rick Lubbers from the Duluth News Tribune. This is a very wonderful conversation. You're listening to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I just want to go right into this part here. So when I looked up riot because I wanted to really, I wanted to be sure I knew what I was talking about here. So when I looked up riot and then looked at the synonyms associated with riot, it says something like uproar, rampage, commotion, upheaval, melee. Those words are mentioned also.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that happened in Canal Park would fit some of these words.
Yes.
But still, the police decided, somebody decided, not to call this a riot. And so that troubles me, especially coming from Duluth, Minnesota. So I did some research about lynchings, okay? We had three lynchings of African heritage men back in 1920, and then a fourth lynching of a Finnish man in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And so according to the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama, this is what they say. They say lynchings occurred in communities where African Americans today remain marginalized, disproportionately poor, overrepresented in prisons and jails, and underrepresented in decision-making roles in the criminal justice system, which is the institution most directly implicated in facilitating lynching and failing to protect Black Americans from racial violence. There are a whole bunch of other decision-making areas where, especially in this community, which has had lynchings, where African heritage people are not a part of the decision-making, whatever. So I ask you, with regard to the News Tribune, what does equity and inclusion and diversity look like in your organization related to your staff from the top all the way to the bottom, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
So I know you've had reporters of color before. How does that play out with regard to the number of reporters you have, senior decision makers, et cetera, in your organization?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, we are not as diverse as we would like to be. That's something that, we need to strive for as well. We talked about fairness in reporting, but, you mentioned diversity and we have had, reporters and editors of color in the past and we still do currently. But at the same time, I am with you and we need to better represent the entire community that we have here in the Northland and the various minority populations within the newsroom. And I think newspapers have long felt that, to really strengthen the core of your reporting, that's just a good practice to be in, to have that newsroom be as diverse as possible. Now, as far as the reality of it, it's not always so easy to to get to that point. But I think it is something that we need to strive for and look at when it comes time to, you know, hire for open positions that come up, certainly.
Thank you for saying that. So I just wanted to have you guys come in, have this brief conversation. I'm hoping to have hopefully the police chief or somebody from law enforcement come in, as well as TV folks, to talk about how they're doing this exact thing. How are they doing their news? When they present the news, is it equitable? Is it fair? Does it leave out communities of color, or does it negatively present people of color to our community? Because once that happens, I can tell you, once that happens, those folks in the community that don't like communities of color anyway have more to hang on to, right? They have more stuff to hang on to that is negative about communities of color. And so I'm just here to have this initial conversation and just kind of broaden this conversation further in the future to say we need to take a look at the words we use, because language is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And the way language is presented can have a detrimental effect on populations of color and others who don't deserve that. Okay? Because once you're in that marginalized community, you're always going to be looked at, in many cases, negatively. And so I'm just here to get this conversation out there to say we need to change things. We need to present things a little bit better. And that goes not just with your newspaper, because you're doing some really good news reporting and stuff, but it's to say we need to really start to focus on how we present the news.
Mm-hmm.
Even the headlines. How we present those headlines.
Certainly.
So, anything else that you want to leave with our listeners that you want to share?
Yeah, Henry. If I have a minute, as I said, I'm the opinion page editor, so I'm in charge of that page. And on the opinion page, we write editorials. It's a newspaper's opinion as determined by an editorial board. And on our editorial board, historically and for a long time, we've had citizen representatives, mm-hmm. and we try very hard to make sure or try to maintain a diversity of male, female, people of color, you know, white, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Between myself and our publisher, we pretty much got the middle-aged white guy demographic covered.
Yes.
So we're always looking for people who bring different perspectives, younger people, people of color, whatever it might be from the community. And we actually have two openings right now on our editorial board. We were supposed to have two citizen representatives start January 1st, and then at the last minute, they both fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, we just have three newspaper staffers on the editorial board, and we really miss, I think, that community perspective. So if anyone who's listening is interested, get a hold of me, and we can certainly talk. We want to add two new citizen representatives to the editorial board for the second half of this year, which should cover, you know, the city council election, so it's a pretty exciting time. So
absolutely. If you want to give your email address,
yeah,
C Frederick,
FREDERICK at DuluthNews.com, or even letters at DuluthNews.com. That's our letters to the editor address, but I'm the one who opens those, so feel free to drop me a note.
So you're busy, both
Thank
of you.
You
are very busy. Thank you for taking the time to come in and have this conversation. Chuck Frederick and Rick Lubbers from the Duluth News Tribune, I am so honored that you're here and have come in, and have a great day.
Thanks for the opportunity,
you too.
Henry.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
When we come back, a conversation with Kevin Jacobson from Channel 6. Okay, welcome back to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. Again, I'm Henry Banks. This time I'm here with Kevin Jacobson. Kevin is the news director for KBJR, for KDLH, and for some other channels. You might want to talk a little bit about the other channels that you are kind of supporting.
Thanks for having
if you
me
will.
On, Henry.
Absolutely.
So I'm the news director for KBJR, the NBC affiliate in Duluth, and then the CBS station, CBS3 in Duluth. Obviously, our station has a couple of other channels that don't have news, so we have a couple of channels, but I oversee the news in those two stations primarily.
Sure. So you're quite busy then.
Quite busy. Basically running two newsrooms under the same roof. We have obviously newscasts on both stations in the evening and in the morning and on weekends as well, and helping coach new journalists that come into the newsroom, as well as working with those who've been there for a while and helping them shape their their presence on the news and the stories that we cover.
Sure, sure. So I asked you to come in today because I always like to talk about things that may not necessarily be talked about in our community. And one of those things is fair and equitable reporting of the news, if you will, from a different standpoint, a different perspective. And so what is your take on fair and equitable reporting of the news?
You know, I think the old adage from journalism is that you always want to be able to portray, represent both sides of a story. You know, at one point, I think we all thought, okay, two sides, right? There's always two sides to an issue. The more we do this and the more we learn, the more we talk, the more we cover news, and the more we realize things, there might also be a third side to a story that we don't always think about, too, and something that we need to start considering and keeping in mind that that is a possibility when covering, you know, a certain issue, typically controversial, when it comes to any sort of city issues or county issues or federal issues. There's always maybe a third side or maybe even a fourth side to a story.
Sure. And I know our demographics, especially in the state of Minnesota, are changing. What you find now is that there are more people of color moving even to Duluth and to the range and north of Duluth. And so as the populations change, the perspective of the news likely hasn't changed. And so as an organization, what is your organization doing to treat the news in a fair way that people of color, others who are marginalized, are not all of a sudden ostracized by the news as it comes on TV?
That's a very good question. I think a couple of thoughts there. You know, it's all about having that conversation about being open to and realizing what is the demographic and the changing demographic in, you know, in the market, in the cities that you cover. You know, for some people who've lived in the area, you know, they know certain things. For people who come from other places, they can bring certain aspects and thoughts to that conversation as far as, you know, journalists who move to Duluth to cover certain issues. They may have a better realization of what's out there, what's not out there. As far as how do we keep up with the changing demographic, one thing that we've been doing in our newsroom to sort of get a better conversation going about who we're covering and how we're covering folks is starting those conversations, opening our doors. You know, newsrooms aren't this fortress of journalists. I think it's, you know, we look at ourselves as part of the community. You know, we live here. We go grocery shopping with everyone. We go to the banks. We go to the sports games, right? So why does the newsroom have to be locked for people who are in the community? Why can't we open our doors up and say, okay, you know what? Why don't we have some ongoing conversations with folks in different communities, minority communities, you know, whether it's organizations, even nonprofits that are doing something? Why can't they come in and we just sit down, show them the station, show them what we do on a daily basis, introduce them to the journalists who do stories, who cover stories, and so that you build that trust and build a conversation. And so when it comes time to doing a story, there's an easier way to be able to reach out to them, and they know where you're coming from. You know, this is not a gotcha story. This is a, hey, we want to talk to you because you're an expert. You know your community, and how can we do a better job of doing that kind of journalism?
Okay, so Kevin, okay, a couple things have come up in Duluth. And so that's why I've asked you to come in. That's why I've asked the newspaper folks when they came in for the conversation as well. Two specific things have happened in Duluth that some of my young production people have called to my attention, and I've noticed as well. A number of months ago now, or maybe several weeks ago now, there was something that happened up at, it used to be called Woodland Hills, or now it's called The Hills, where the police were called and 21 police units responded to that location. Came out in the news that it was a riot. Somebody had to deem it a riot. And then a couple of weeks ago in Canal Park, something happened where there were hundreds of students from the University of Minnesota Duluth who were, one in fact was an underage drinking person, There was city property that was damaged. Beer bottles were broken. A melee of some sort happened down there. One incident, the incident at the Hills, was called a riot. However, and that's how it was reported, another incident that happened in Canal Park was called a celebration. And so I brought you here today to talk about that. Who makes the determination in the news to call one incident a celebration and the other incident a riot? Who makes that determination? So I had the news folks in from the newspaper. They said, well, the police make the determination to call one thing a riot or the other an incident. When the situation that happened at the Hills, when that was announced as a riot, the executive of that organization said that was not a riot. It was not a riot. But it was very clear to a lot of people in the community that the incident in Canal Park was a riot, but it was never called a riot. So why the difference?
So good questions and two interesting stories to talk about. I think stepping back as the journalist, I think you kind of hit on it there as being the viewer, seeing we all saw what happened in Canal Park. We saw the video of, you know, the kids and the people in the streets, quote unquote, celebrating the UMD victory. Yeah, we had a guy climbing a light post and there might have been some damage out there. We never saw what happened at Woodland Hills. Obviously, that happened behind closed doors. And so I think, you know, to the point that you made, we go off of what police, you know, have reported to us, depending on what the incident is. Police told us right off the bat that the Woodland Hills incident was a riot. And yes, the executive director said, no, it wasn't a riot. And we spent a lot of time going back and forth figuring out, well, what was it then or what wasn't it? And how do we accurately portray that on the news? Because we can't necessarily make that determination. We weren't there. That said, with the UMD event in Canal Park, you know, could we go back and look at it? The fact that our eyes were on that, we saw what happened. Lots of people running into the street, doing crazy things. I mean, a riot, maybe, absolutely. I think we turn to police, we turn to officials to help provide the context, especially if it's depending on the event or how you look at the different things that line up with past incidents or how they look at those events.
Sure. So I have been told, and I'm not sure if you have been told the same thing, but the incident at Woodland Hills or the Hills, the people that were involved were of color.
Okay.
However, down in Canal Park, they were white kids. And somebody made the determination to call one thing a riot. And so when the police decide to call something a riot, the news media doesn't have to call it a riot. And so that's where I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my listeners are stuck. Why do we have to hang on to what the police called a riot, which was in fact not a riot, mm-hmm. and not really treat the news fairly with regard to both of these incidents?
I think with the...
And that's just perspective.
Absolutely. And I think with the Woodland Hills event, you know, we reported, obviously, that the police had reported that this was a riot. And when the executive director, you know, turned to us and said it wasn't a riot, I think at that point, and if I recall correctly, we did say both things. We said police are calling this a riot. Yeah. Woodland Hills are calling, you know, this something different. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the fair... angle to take, or not angle, but the fair direction to take with that story. Because, again, we weren't there.
Yep.
We don't know what happened.
And I believe you all treated it very fairly.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm getting all of these different perspectives, because your counterparts in the print media did not go back and say, hey, this was this, mm-hmm. right? And so they should have done that. Because in one instance when they had a report, it was in quotes as a riot. Mm-hmm. But the first... iteration of their story was not in quotes. And so that for me kind of made me say I need to do something with this.
Sure, and I think it's a matter of, and I can't speak to what the Duluth News Tribune did, but I think it's one of those, you want to be able to build trust with the sources. In this case, it was the police, and, you know, whether, you know, whatever police say, you want to believe, you want to make sure that, you know, what's coming from them is sort of what happened, that is the case. Are we always speculative about what we're hearing? Absolutely. I mean, that's what we do as journalists. And again, we weren't there for that particular incident, but obviously for the Canal Park, UMD, post game stuff, that's an event where we could probably say, okay, what do we have here? Let's talk about this and let's call it what it is.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. So how do we, as folks in this industry that talk about all kinds of things and present all kinds of viewpoints and perspectives, and as I mentioned earlier, because the demographics are changing so rapidly in the state of Minnesota, Kevin, how is your organization going to look at that moving forward with regard to organizations of color, talking to them, meeting with them to get their perspectives on how the news is presented in our community?
Yeah, so like you said, meeting with them is key. It's making that time, that commitment to build the relationships that will help both sides, both parties in the end, I think, being able to tell their story in a better fashion, in a better light. You know, one of the topics we always talk about, you know, in the newsroom or at different conferences is, every time on the media, and this is sort of one of those, you know, stories people share, is that if you're doing a story about minority, it's because of a topic of racism or it's a topic of X, Y, Z. It's not getting reaction about President Trump's latest initiative. You know, I think I could say here I've been in Duluth 10 years now, and so it's easy for a reporter to go out, find three people quickly in 10 minutes to get their reaction, come back to the station, put it on the air, and guaranteed those three people will probably be two white men and a white woman. So what we need to do as journalists and as people who are reflecting our community is take that extra time. And it's not easy. It's not always easy, but take that extra time to find a good mix of people that reflect the community that you live in, that you represent, to be able to weigh in on those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And again, it takes a little more legwork. But if you're building those relationships ahead of that, you know those people you could reach out to get that kind of reaction, and they can point you in different directions.
Let me ask you this question. So I watch some of the newscasts, especially some of the sports and how the sports is presented locally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's these announcements that come up through the sports segment of the scholar athletes. I don't recall ever seeing scholar athletes of color being showcased or presented in sportscast. Mm-hmm. Not just on Channel 6, but on the other stations as well. I have not seen that. Why is that? It just appears that all the scholar athletes are white. I don't understand that. I strongly believe there are people of color who are scholar athletes that are not getting that recognition.
And I think this is a good example of us having the conversation now where, you know, knowing that and realizing that and not always thinking about the day-to-day and covering those stories. You and I having that conversation, I can go back to the newsroom and say, guys, let's take a second look at how we're doing these segments and who are we covering, how are we reflecting our community in doing these segments. And I think that's, again, it goes back to having that conversation with people in the community about how we're covering the news and having that open mind. And it also comes down to who do you have in the newsroom as a hired journalist to help represent the community. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of having people who are producers that are of color or reporters or anchors, yes, being able to reflect the community. And there's the argument that it's hard to do that here in the Northland in Duluth. But you said it, that the demographic is changing. And it's a matter of keeping in mind that as we go forward and who we are hiring and who we are adding to our staff to be able to help think about those things as far as who we're representing in our newscasts.
Yeah, and it's about having the ability to go from alienating the community, especially communities of color, when you watch the news and you're not reflected in a positive way, mm-hmm. That's going to be alienating. Or having the ability to say, hey, we have some folks of color in all segments of our community. We're not recognizing them. Maybe we should think about recognizing them and giving those folks the opportunity to, if you will, to be shared with the whole entire region. Mm-hmm. I think that would go a long way in getting even more viewers, especially from populations of color.
That might be true. And I think, you know, we often deal with, Native American tribes across the Northland. It is hard to get access to them, to be able to ask some questions or to be able to do a story. And so that goes back to the whole, how do we build trust? How do we build relationships and move that forward? Because we do want to tell good stories. It's, you know, a lot of people always joke that the news is all bad, but mm-hmm. we try to really do good stories too. And that goes for, you know, any sort of part of the demographic, that we want to be able to do that and share those, you know, share the successes yes. with the community.
Yeah. So what I try to do here on my show is I try to showcase, enhance as many folks of color that are doing great things in this entire region. If I know about it, mm-hmm. I want to have them on my show, because people need to hear from them and learn some of the marvelous and miraculous, if you will, things that they're doing yeah. to change their community. You know, and as I said earlier, there are lots of people of color who are doing great things in this region that we are not acknowledging. Mm-hmm. And so we're just about out of time, Kevin. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners that you didn't mention about the importance of fair and equitable reporting in the news?
I think just going off of what you mentioned there about, you know, highlighting people who are doing good things, you know, a lot of times the news is accused of, hey, you didn't cover this story. And a lot of times, and this might sound very simplistic, but it's also because we never knew about it. Uh-huh. So I think people, viewers or readers, just need to think about, okay, this is something I want in the news. You know, reach out. Reach out to your favorite anchor or your favorite reporter or whatever news station or newspaper you watch, and let them know. We take those seriously. You know, if it's a good story, it's a bad story, we need to look into. I think, you know, the conversation always goes both ways, and that's the only way we can get better as a entity that covers the community.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for coming in and taking your time.
Me.
I know you're very busy, and to come and do this is certainly a great thing, and I hope you'll come back again.
Absolutely.
Kevin Jacobson is the news director of Channel 6, Channel 3, very busy person. This is People of Color. We'll be back in just a moment. We close the show tonight with a special Mother's Day tribute, Because You Love Me by Celine Dion. And then we close the entire show tonight with A Mother's Love by Aretha Franklin. Made right for every dream you make come true, for all the love I found in you. I'll be forever thankful, baby. You're the one who held me up, never let me fall. You're the one who saw me through it all. You were my strength.
I have stood on a mountain and watched an eagle fly. I have seen trees in a meadow, shelter a morning dove, but I haven't seen anything to match the wonder of a mother's love. I have seen a sunset more beautiful than gold, and I have stood by rose bed and watched the leaves unfold. I have seen the wonder of a mother.